Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Well now, poor Peter, have you ever attended a meeting or a seminar and felt an urgent need to make a comment? Then, after the words were out of your mouth and it's all too late, you realize that what you said was inappropriate or just plain wrong. I have to admit it's happened to me. And the same thing happens in our gospel reading today. Beloved Peter, future saint and martyr, who will become the rock of the church, has opened his mouth and he's inserted his foot, sandal and all. Christ has called his disciples together and is attempting to teach them God's vision for his ministry on earth. But Peter interrupts, takes Jesus by the arm, and pulls him aside. He treats our Lord as he might actually be some chattering teenager. Peter actually seems to be scolding Jesus for what he has told them. But Jesus has a clear understanding of what God expects from him, and he needs no correction. We can imagine the rest of the disciples nervously eyeing each other as this event unfolds. What follows is a rare display of temper from our Lord. While scolding Peter, Jesus goes so far as to refer to him as Satan. Now, we could well imagine after this sort of dressing down, Peter would probably have very little to say for the rest of the day. Before Jesus had been so rudely interrupted, he was telling his followers that the Son of Man must suffer, endure rejection by the Jewish leadership, and then be killed. It's not difficult to understand Peter's concern. He recently acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. In the Jewish tradition, the Messiah is supposed to be a fierce warrior king who will lead an army in battle, driving out the Roman overlords and establishing a new kingdom. It's unthinkable to the Jews that their Messiah could face rejection, much less be tortured and killed. After scolding Peter, Jesus tells everyone within hearing distance, Peter's priorities, well, they're just all wrong. He was focused on earthly things, not on the divine. Peter was placing his own needs and expectations first. But Jesus tells all his followers they are to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. It is likely that in that moment, the disciples realize that this is not the God that they had hoped for, which had been made known to them in the form of Jesus Christ. He does not plot military conquest or political intrigues. Instead, what they actually have is a young rabbi. He teaches about loving your neighbor, sharing with needy foreigners, and caring for the sick and lame. Then talks about his own eventual death at the hands of the very power base that he was expected to overcome. It's no wonder that Peter is confused and upset. The situation that he finds himself in is not at all the one that he had anticipated. But if we look within ourselves, we can understand Peter's point of view. We all at times have become focused on our own earthly things. How often have we said, you know, if I just had a little more time, or, you know, gosh, if I just had a little more money. Who hasn't asked for winning numbers on a lottery ticket or a convenient parking place at the shopping mall? Truth be told, we have all wanted at some time or another a God who was on call and would swoop down upon request and make our lives easier. Eliminate our pain and suffering, Lord, and take away all our difficulty. Just like Paul, we would like to have some special treatment. A few years ago, I was working as a hospital chaplain. I had the opportunity on several occasions to stand at the bedside of a dying patient with the grieving family. We prayed for a different outcome, but many times God seemed so very distant. Struggling to accept the finality of death, and in the grief of their loss, someone might ask, where was God? Why does he allow such suffering and pain? Why doesn't he just help us? Well, the answer is, he already has. Our God is so much more than a deity available to hand down little favors to improve the detail of our daily lives. We should trust even the major tragedies that we must have, that they must have some reason and purpose beyond our understanding. The God we worship in Jesus took up a cross and followed the path that was asked of him. He suffered humiliation and pain unto death for the salvation of you and me and the whole world. When we accept this truth and cherish it in our hearts, the suffering we can see around us in the hospital bed, in the alleyways, the prisons, and even in our own mirror is Christ crucified again and again in the midst of our own pain. Jesus asked his followers that day to take up their own cross and follow him. That request would have caused the disciples a great deal of concern. The cross the disciples were familiar with was one of pain and execution. Jesus was asking them to be prepared to give up their lives for the sake of his teaching. But as Christians, we also have our cross to bear. Ours is one of discipleship, living in the example that Christ has established for us. But taking up our cross also means that we are able to see and respond to the suffering Christ in our own world. Sometimes it's pretty easy to see those who are in need. They are hungry, or cold, or sick, and even homeless. Other times, they can be more difficult to spot. A person in need can look just like you and me. Maybe they're just desperately lonely or afraid. But each time you reach out, in reality, it is Christ that you are reaching out to. Living the life that Christ has called us to can be difficult. And very often, it's impossible to see into the darkness that may lie ahead. But consider this quote that I found recently online by author and child development researcher R.L. Nost. She wrote, "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. So, we may take up our cross and follow Christ as he has called us into the dark world. For just as certainly as the Lenten season gives way to Easter and the joyous resurrection, our own road ahead holds the same bright promise."